All right, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1. So if you get settled and be turning to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Thank you, guys. I mean, that was beautiful, all those songs. If you really, I was sitting there thinking of George Beverly Shea, and God kind of like just tapped me on the head and said, what's wrong with these guys? And it was like nothing, you know, it was beautiful. Those words, you know, those words, consider them, think about them. Is it well with your soul today? Let's be honest. Is it well with your soul? Not because you got the bank account or the IRA that's closing out or this or that. Is it well with your soul? The soul doesn't go down to the credit union. The soul will not be in some mansion someplace or a car or anything. The only place that this soul is safe is in Jesus Christ. Is it well with your soul? You know, I can't tell. Only God knows the heart. But man, Betty Moore, I said that to Pat. Betty's favorite song. Oh. Yep. 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 She made sure. Tell those boys, that's our worship team, all those new songs they're singing, if they would just do one of the old ones, they'll be blessed. You know, it's like, but, you know, yeah. God bless her. All right. So you're in 2 Timothy? Good. Put your neighbor's knee in there. And I'd like you, I wasn't going to have you turn here, but before we go to, I'd like you to turn to Luke 21. And I really felt impressed before when I was praying. We're in a time like no other time before. You know, people, you know, are you saying that this is it? No, I'm not saying that. I know we're in the last days. They started when they hung Jesus on the cross. So we're in the last days. How many more are left? I don't know. Only God knows that, but I know he tells us things that we wouldn't marvel, that we wouldn't be taken off guard, that we wouldn't be surprised. And Luke 21, there's a, just, it's signs of the end that the Lord was telling them about, because they didn't know either. And in verse, I'm not going to read all of it, but I think it's really significant for the time that we're in today. Luke 21, verse 25. And when they were asking him, just like all of us, what does it mean? What's going on? And what's happening to our world? You know, I would much rather be wrong and be biblically correct, okay, in a sense, than politically correct today. I know what my Lord has said over all the years. I'm tired of hearing every morning one report, and when I go to bed, there's another report. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word, he said, this word will not pass away. Not a comma, not a jot, not a tittle. Nothing until he returns. And the fact of the matter is, he is returning. Chuck Smith used to say, if he doesn't come back today, he's missing a perfect opportunity. And Chuck has been gone for years. You know, is he coming back today? I don't know. And I don't mean this for sympathy, but, you know, Dee didn't think he was coming back for her. Teddy didn't think he was coming back at that point in time. We don't know. Is my soul right? Am I well right now? Am I at peace knowing where I'm going to go and what's going to come within my life, my family's life? Because right out there, I mean, it's an ugly, ugly scene that's going on. So the Lord says, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon, verse 25, and in the stars upon the earth, distress of nations. Holy mackerel. Really? How long ago did he say this? Now, most, you know, commentators, most theologians, but Doug, this is the second coming. This is after the tribulation. I want you to hear what the Lord is saying here. There's going to be some signs in the sun, the moon, the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. That word in the Greek, it's without any kind of remedy. It's not going to happen. And there's other verses that go with this about this disease, this malady, a deadly malady that will come without any cure. Gee, I wonder, is that what we're looking at today? I don't know. But the Lord was saying, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. So he's saying, there's going to be stuff going on up here. There's going to be stuff going on down here. Perplexity, not knowing how to figure it out. Men's hearts, and that's why I went there, I feel, or at least that's where I feel the Lord led me there. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Does every translation have that? Well, praise God, underline it if you feel comfortable in your Bible. Men's heart failing them for fear. It's going to be the topic we're talking about today. It's going to be what's going on in everyone's life, I feel, in one sense or another. And looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Jesus Christ made a statement. He says, I will shake everything that can be shaken, so that which cannot be shaken will remain. The only thing that he doesn't want shaken in our lives is our faith and our love and our hope in him. The rest of it is not going along with us. It's all going to burn, crumble, or whatever. And then, after, so again, a key, please hear 27. And then, after we see these things, and the powers of this earth are being shaken right now. What is happening? It's global. It's not just Boulder, Denver. California, we'd expect this. Diane's not here today. Texas, you'd definitely expect it, right? They'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28, and when these things, what does yours say? Begin to come to pass? When these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift your head, for your redemption draws nigh. We're walking around today, it's just, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? I've lost my job. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Worry in that sense is still, if you're in Christ, it's a sin. I'm not saying that. He's saying it. It means I don't fully trust him. Oh my gosh, what if this happens? Oh my gosh, what if that happens? What if it doesn't happen? Let's keep working for the Lord. Let's keep getting the word out. Let's keep spreading the gospel within our family, within our friends, within our workplaces. Let's keep doing that until that time comes. And then his promise is he will put the words in our mouth that we have to say. So garbage in, that's what comes out. That's an old statement, right? And we watch TV and we listen to this guy and we listen to that one and then we regurgitate it as if it's gospel. What did the Lord say? What did the Lord say? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'll be with you always. Why are you marveling? Didn't I tell you about this stuff? Are we getting into this word like it's our very life? Because it is. Now, somebody might not, you might not buy that. Oh, hallelujah, sister. I better calm down and get to the sermon. That had nothing to do with it other than this is the time that we're in. This is the time that we're in. Do I have another 5 years, 10 years? Do I have another 1 year? Do I have another week? I don't know. What am I doing right now that's going to remain in faith, hope, and love? The only thing that will go with us is what we've done for Christ. That's the only thing that remains. Our good works in his name will go with us. But, oh, gee, I did this or I did that. Right now, I think we all need to concentrate on where am I in Christ? What are those things that he has given me in this life to do? And am I doing them for his glory or for my glory? And that's what our topic is going to be today. So turn to 2 Timothy, and I'll get started. We left off verse 6. Craig, I couldn't get it on my iPad, and I just figured it out this morning how to get on there. And so I haven't heard what Craig had preached to us yet. But I left off the week prior to that. My family came in. This is just the remnant right now, just like the church will be one day. I do believe in remnant theology. It's not going to be a mass worldwide revival of everybody praising God. There's going to be a remnant. There's going to be just a few. And that's what's left out of the, 14 family members that were here. So praise God that they're here. My sister's been watching me through that. Warren, clear back in New York. So we left off in verse 6 where Paul was instructing Timothy to fan the flame to a burning. And that brought a question to me all week. Am I? Am I burning for Christ like I did back in 1974 when I first got saved? Am I burning for him? Or am I burned out? Am I burning for Christ? Or am I burdened with all the things that are going on in the world and all the things that aren't happening the way that I've planned them? And finally, the Lord just kind of led me to, you know, Doug, you're not your own. You bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your soul, in your spirit, everything I do. Bring glory to Him. So are you burning a burden today? Are you burned out? Are you tired? Being an old Harley rider, I just had to stop for a second. Which poses another question. If I'm not burning for Christ and I'm burdened, if I'm burned out and not on fire for the Lord, what is it that I can do? What can I do? And to a degree, you know, the Lord tells us, you can't do anything, right, Pete? All you can do is believe. That's what I want you to do. You don't have to understand. You just believe it. But I don't understand. He goes, don't worry about it. I just told you to believe it, not understand it. And then with that will come a willingness to obey Him. And boy, understanding opens up. So what can I do if I'm in that state? Just like Timothy was. Something was going on in Timothy's life because of the surroundings of the time, because of the pressures that were on this young preacher at that time, just like they are on you and your family members. What should I do is a better question than what can I do? What should I do? And I think we'll get to that today, I hope. So let's take up in 6. We won't probably get finished, but we'll maybe go to 9. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance. Wherefore is, look at why he said that. Because of all, he was saying this because Paul, praying and talking to this friend of his, this young son in the faith, he knew of Timothy's grandmother. He knew of Timothy's mother. He knew the faith that existed in that household way back. And what he was doing now is encouraging him to stir that up. And I look out and I think, my gosh, some of us in here, that the grandma or the mom, there was no faith whatsoever, nothing, but it's still available. But most of us sitting in here, I think, were raised somehow. Even though Nanny used to walk around the house yelling out, you know, the our Lord, His mother, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I'll say it. She used to just walk around saying that. And Teddy and I would go, what? Right, what is she talking about? But it must have put something in my ear. Because then I wanted to find out as I get a little bit older, what was going on here? Most of you were raised in a household probably like him, a mother or a grandmother who had faith. You were told about God. You were told about things. You were shown a terrible example, probably, like us, because we're flesh. Don't ever let flesh get in the way of your vision of who Jesus Christ is, who God is. But just like Timothy, we were raised in families of faith. So now, not only is Paul encouraging Timothy, but I want to encourage myself. I want to encourage you, if you'll have ears to hear, bring it, fan it up. Fan the flame. Get it back. The time is short. I don't want to stand before my Lord. And I, you know, why? Well, I kind of, you know, I was busy watching the Broncos. Well, praise God, they're not playing this year. So what's my excuse going to be? I'm going to watch Dr. Fauci on what kind of mask I should wear or not? Is that what we're doing? Let's start hearing God. And Paul's saying, Timmy, stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God, listen to 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Phobos, a fear. Just, you know, we'll get into that whole word too, but, you know, this anxiety, a distress, a frightening non-event at this point. He's saying, you haven't got that. What are you, Timmy, why are you afraid of these people in the synagogues that are speaking about you being a kid? Why are you afraid of this that's going on in your area? And the same word comes back to us. Why? I need to stir up this gift that's in me. Because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Be not there, thou, for ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, every one of us. It's not like he just called us to let us wander anywhere. He's given everybody something, as we'll see. Not according to our works, you know, how high I can jump, how many things I can memorize. No, it's not according to my works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm praying again, all your translations. When was it given to you? When you accepted him? When was it given to you? When you got your, what was our attendance badges at Parkway Community? Remember? I used to walk around like that with like medals being in the Army, man. 3 years without a day missing, you know. He gave us these gifts before the world began. Please concentrate on that. He knew you before this whole world. He knew me before this world existed. And he had a purpose and a plan. He's got an immediate purpose, I've said that before, for us, what each one of us has to do right now. And then he's got an eternal purpose for us. That's it. He wants to be with us forever. But what is my purpose? Not Steve Martin. I'm in the phone book. I've got a special purpose, you know? But can we see these things? You can do only what God has put into you to do through the power of his Holy Spirit. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to add something else in because somebody else is doing or a church says you should do this. What can I do? And then go to our Lord and say, what is that that you would have me to do, Father God? Not according to our works, but a thought of his for us before the world began. So let's break it down. Verse 6, he was putting them in remembrance to stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Fan up the flame. Get it going into a burning, roaring fire, not just a little ember. Why is that? Why is it that Paul would tell him, fan that gift up. Get it burning, son. Get it burning. Maybe it was burning out like some of us. Maybe it was starting to die a little bit. So again, put something in there. Turn to Proverbs, if you would. Where in Proverbs? 26. Why would Paul tell Timothy to fan this up? Why was he using that analogy again? Paul being Old Testament in a sense, they didn't have a Bible like we have. He didn't have 22 of them sitting around on shelves for people to borrow. He didn't have it in, you know, four or five of them at the house. He had the Old Testament and that was it. So he was referring to knowledge that he had. And in Proverbs 26, I feel is the answer. No, I said 26, then I said 20. Proverbs 26, 20. Why would he tell them to fan this up, this fire? So we've got fires going on today. I wish they would go down to an ember. But here in Proverbs, it says where no wood is, verse 20 of Proverbs 26, where no wood is, there the fire goes out. The tendency of every fire is to burn itself out, isn't it? Anybody ever make a campfire? Did you put on 3 sticks and then you sat back and you had your s'mores 4 hours later? It was nothing left. The tendency of every fire is to burn itself out. And what he was telling Timothy is that the tendency of us burning for Christ is the same as this wood that we were talking about. It'll burn out if you don't fan it up, if you don't stoke it, if you don't maintain it. That's what had to be done. Where there is no talebearer, that word 5 is a whisperer, is the word in the Hebrew. I love that because you know who the enemy is of your soul? He's the whisperer. He's also known as that. Whispers something in your ear. Well, don't do that. Don't do that. That'll never pay off. Oh, say this, though. This will really get her hacked off. Say this. That's a good comeback. He's a whisperer. That's all he is. And here the Lord is saying that. Where there's no whisper, the strife ceases. The strife just ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. It goes on and on. It unfortunately gets into gossip, which I love to talk about with some of you in private. But we won't go to gossip today. We're going about fanning the flame. fanning the flame in my heart, because it's going to go out. Turn back, if you would, to Timothy. It almost, I hope that nobody takes, well, do take it personal, because that's how God speaks to each one of us. But I'm speaking kind of from a platform of myself. I know myself all too well. And then there's parts of me that I don't even realize. How'd that happen? How'd that come to pass? Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Take this personal. Ask God, what is my fire burning? Is my fire burning out? Is it already just ashes? You know, William Booth in the Salvation Army, you're just remembering, he used this proverb that the tendency of every fire is to burn itself out. And he told all his soldiers, is what the Salvation Army is really considered, he told them, be careful and be sure to tend the altar and the fire of your heart. That's where the fire burned in the Old Testament. They had it up on the altar. They would consume things. And here he was telling everybody, just watch the altar and the fire of your heart. So, why, again, I kept asking, why? Why do we have this, fan this flame? We read it, stir up the gift of God. It's burning out. Why does it burn out? We've all had this before. Why does the gift of God in our hearts, why does that burn out? I feel abuse is one, probably. We've seen so much abuse of the Holy Spirit in our lives, on TV, on the radio. Send you money. Send a bigger amount of money. God, here's a napkin that's blessed if you send. You know, it's just an abuse of the power of the Holy Spirit. Just completely nothing to do with what the Lord is saying. So what happens is, I don't want to get too involved with the Holy Spirit because, you know, that abuse that's on there, blah, blah, blah. And then what happens if we don't get into that habit of keeping the fuel going? The fire starts to die. And that's called what? Neglect. So yes, I've got the Holy Spirit, but am I neglecting Him? The Word of God says that we can quench the Holy Spirit. We can neglect the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. And here he is in there just saying, Doug, just let me out. Let me loose. And watch what I can do in your life and maybe the life of one other. So, abuse, neglect. And I feel with that neglect and being quiet is what? Is that word fear is where we were today. There's a fear. There's a fear of doing exactly what Paul is encouraging Timothy here to stir up the gift of God. Every one of us has a different gift. Every one of us is not the same. Look at your fingerprints. They're all different. God has made us individuals. God has given you a gift that I don't have. God has given you a gift that Bruce doesn't have. Taffy's got a gift that you don't have. Stir it up. Every one of us, we might think, well, God's not using me. I don't do this, or I don't have that, or I can't. You know, no. The moment that you and I asked Christ into our lives, we were given the Holy Spirit. Now, yes, in context, this probably was a special gift that Paul laid hands on Timothy for in his ministry, but every one of us has the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us. And what he's saying is stir that up. You've got a gift. Are we using it in this time, which is shortly probably going to end, whether he comes back or not, for many of us? Am I using this gift? Am I using it for his glory? Am I stirring it up? Let me do this. Matthew 25. Like I said, it's the fear of the unknown that we don't step out for Christ, that we don't witness in his name, that we don't trust him in our own lives on a daily basis. We think that the world is going to end tomorrow, but not because Christ is coming, because I'm going to lose my job, I'm going to lose my house, I'm going to lose my boat, I'm going to lose my pleasure. All the things that are befalling. Remember, it said men, their hearts failing for fear. That's the enemy's greatest weapon against us is fear. There's good fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it says. And that's an awesome, reverent respect for God, not a shaking or a quaking. But then there's a fear that is very bad. And it's used over 365 times. Now, I've tried this week to make sure I found them before saying it, but 365 plus times the word fear in its, you know, disguises, don't be afraid, don't worry, fear not, 365 times. That may, hey, maybe there's one fear not for every day in my life. Maybe I should find those. When fear starts to grip me, not fear of my Lord and his word, but fear about what if, what about, I don't know. Why don't I find those? So that's that other reason why I feel that we're not fanning these flames up, and we've got a talent that he's going to expect us to answer for one day. And in Matthew 25, let's just do 14. I've still got some time. For the kingdom of heaven, and that is, you know, it's on its way. In a sense, it's here, but it's not in its fulfillment. And the word says that the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered them his goods. And unto one, and unto Pat, let's make it personal. And unto Pat, he gave... What? Yeah, talent was about $935 at this time, I think. So he gave you five. You do the math, okay? He gave you 50 grand, let's say. But see, we have to, and this was a parable. Christ was trying to get these guys to understand by this word picture he was doing what we've been given. And every one of us has a, he didn't give us money to deal with. He gave us talents. Somebody can bake, somebody can sew, somebody can chop wood, somebody can play the guitar. You guys today, thank you. We had worship. Because you took that talent and stepped up here. You know, go through the whole place. Every one of us has got something. So he's saying that he, and put your name in, I won't, so everybody's worrying about who he's gonna call for the next one. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. So some of us don't, the one is the Holy Spirit, remember that. No matter what else you might or could do, to every man according to his what? Several ability. See, the Lord isn't going to waste these precious gifts on somebody who's going to neglect them and hide them and keep them packed up. To your several ability. I can't fly a plane. Pete can. You don't want me flying a plane with you in it, okay? It's just that simple. To your several ability. What does God know in his foreknowledge that you are capable of doing with this? Is it laborious type of stuff? Is it compassion type of stuff? Is it financial kind of stuff? Let's not leave those things out. These are gifts that can be used for the Lord. So he gave all of these out to their several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Then he had received, the one who had received five talents went, traded with the same and made five more talents. And likewise, he that received two, he also gained another two. But he that had received one went and digged it in the earth and hid it, his Lord's money. What the story, you read it, it goes on to say, well, I knew that you were a austere. I knew that you were a hard master. The problem was this man did not know the Lord. Do you know the Lord? And if you do, don't be the one, because the story isn't very pleasant after that. Don't be the one that takes the gift that we've been given and hides it because of not being politically correct out there, not worrying in fear that maybe somebody is going to say this. What are those, you know, the three R's was what? Reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? What are the three R's of our fear of not stirring up this fire in our hearts, this gift that God has chosen to give us before the foundation of the world? What are those fears that I might have? I know I wrote it someplace, rejection, fear of being rejected. Fear of being rejected on the base scale is I've been too nasty. I've been too mean. You don't know where I've been. God will never reject anyone who comes to him and asks for that forgiveness. be my Lord? Is it a fear of rejection that you're not going there? Is it a fear of rejection and some of the younger? Because if they find out that I'm a Christian, I might not be welcome in the football circle, in the wrestling circle, in the chess circle, in this circle or that circle. Rejection is one of those things that really worries each and every one of us, I think. Refusal, oh, what if I go out and I tell somebody about how God loves them? What if I go out there and tell them that he's the only way to eternal life? I might be refused. I might have them say, no, get out of my face, or whatever else they might say. Reprisal, is that one? I might lose my job. Are you kidding? If I open my mouth that I'm a Christian, I might lose my job. Oh, do we depend on Christ? Or do we depend on that one job? I don't want to be foolish in this, but what I'm trying to see is what God is telling us to start getting the flame going. We're in a time where he needs you. He needs your lips for his light to get that to somebody. That's why he's left us here. Fear. The reason why I did this, back to 2 Timothy, why should I do it? How can I do it? I can do it only through the power of his Holy Spirit. And I feel like don't apply this only to witnessing today, because you might say, well, I tell people about the Lord all the time. All right, let's take it a step further. The word of God is not always to us, remember, but it's what? For us. It has an application in our life. If this is a rich and a real and a living word, it means for today. So, how do I apply this to my life if you are witnessing? What's that fear in your life? Is it a fear of husband, wife, relationship, children, finance? What's your other fear? Fear, you know, what was the Bob Newhart one? That lady had a fear when she came to him that somebody was gonna bury her alive in a cardboard box. And it was a comedy routine. And he just said, well, the cure for that is stop it. Stop thinking about it. What's the fear that's gripping you today, that's keeping you from doing a whole lot of things? I feel that that's what the Lord is trying to say to us, because God has not given us the spirit of fear. That's cowardness, timidity, phobos, a shaking almost to the point where I can't even go out my front door. God has not given us that. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us his Holy Spirit, because that's the next one in there. He's given us the spirit of power. And when we look at that spirit of power, that's the power of the Holy Spirit right in our life, but it's the power to change things. If there is that fear in your life or whatever it might be, God is saying, I'm here to help you. I'm going to get you through this. That's what my Holy Spirit is for, not just to speak in tongues or make a big show in church. It's to get us through every single day until we leave this planet here, until we go to be with him. See, he's not trying to make our lives beautiful down here and easy and simple. He's trying to prepare us for eternity. He's trying to prepare us to go to be with him and the ones that we love. So he hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power, the Holy Spirit, love. That's agape, that word in the Greek. He's given us the spirit of love. Love, number one, for him. Do I love him? I love her. I love her, and I will do more now than I would do 50, how long we married? 52 years ago, because I didn't know what love was then. I will do more for her because I love her, and because the one that I love and gave me that privilege, I love him even more. That's what he's given us. That's the power of agape, the Holy Spirit working in our life, and a sound mind. Now, some will say, well, that's not true. You know, there's crazy people. That's not what this means. It doesn't mean that we'll be free from some kind of mental disorder or anything else. It means that he's given us this mind that can figure things out, a sound mind, self-control, a spirit within us that no matter what's going on, we will be able to control that. It's just figuring it out is all that is. So, I'm going to end. I got a couple more minutes. I'm going to throw in a couple. Turn to Deuteronomy. So if you've got some fear today, if there's something going on that's keeping you from fanning that flame, remember I said, what should I do? What can I do? First thing is to remember that if you're in Christ, he's in you. He's not living somewhere outside. He's living in us by the Holy Spirit. I will come and abide in you. What does that mean? It means I'll dwell with you. I'll be there. And he's not going to leave. You know, my sister and Warren are here, and my family was here. They're not dwelling with us. They were just staying for a little while. But he's going to come and abide. He's not leaving. He's not going to let us kick him out or anything. So the first thing I can do is remember he's with us. In this fear that we have for what's coming on us with this COVID, for what's coming on us with the crash of the financial system, what's coming on us with this political system that very well could enter in. Don't forget that Christ is with us. This is not shaking him on the throne. If you're there, Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, when you go out to battle against your enemy, it says. Well, who's your enemy? Well, Satan is our enemy, but please, it's not the man or woman or the child next to you. That's not our enemy. It's not your next door neighbor, as much as they annoy us and everything else. Satan, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he might devour. He does that by fear, just like a wolf or a dog does to a herd of elk. They just get them scared, and they get them to where they run off by themselves, and then he's got you. And that's what Satan's trying to do. Even if your fear today is just, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is, I'm going to heaven. End result. I know that. Because he said it. So when you go out to do battle against your enemy, see, your enemy, Jerry, is different than mine. Your enemy is different than mine, bud. I don't know who you're fighting out there, who's trying to fight you. You got a different one. You got to name it. You got to realize this is the one I'm facing. Who's your Goliath? And you see horses and chariots and people more than now. And there's our story, if we had time, go into David and Goliath. Was he afraid of the opposition? The answer is no, he trusted in the Lord. When you're going out against your enemy and you see horses, chariots, and people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Huh. Which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Now, yeah, is he talking to these people? He's talking, oh, we lived in Egypt once. Anybody want to go back and just have leeks and onions? I don't, you know. And it shall be when you come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Prayer, prayer, prayer is so necessary in the time that we're in. And shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemy. Don't let your heart faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For, verse 4, underline it, for the Lord your God is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. We haven't got the spirit of fear, remember that? We haven't been given that. We've been given something, and I think the first and foremost is to remember that, to God is with me. If God is for us, who can be against us? Doesn't the word say that? Why should I fear man? Somebody's threats, somebody's verbiage. Why would I fear that if God is with me? He's going to take care of that for me. Romans 11, you don't have to turn there, 29. Well, gee, Lord, I've kind of squandered the gifts over all these years. I'm not doing what I think I should do. See, it doesn't matter what I think you should do with your gift, Jake. Doesn't matter a lick. I can help you, I can instruct you, I can do that with Viner, I'm not picking on Jake. But it's not really up to me. God did that before the world was created. He put special gifts in you and Peter and Marilyn and every one of us. It's not up to me. But you might say, well, I've squandered these gifts a little bit. I've taken my time, I'm not doing what I should be doing. Don't worry about it. If you wrote that down, Romans 11, 29 says, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance, meaning he doesn't take them back. It's still there. Whatever he put in you the day that he thought of you, whatever gift he put in there the day that you and I accepted him and he gave us the Holy Spirit, that gift is still in there and God's not, oh, I'm taking that back. I mean, I've had people that bought me a shirt and stuff and you don't like it, well, I'll take that back. You know, you don't like that, I'll take that. God's not like that. That gift is in there. All you got to do is stir it up, fan the flame, get it going. Boy, I had a bunch of them. Let's just do one psalm. Is that okay? And I'll end. Psalm 56. 56. Psalm 27 is pretty good. Remember we used to sing that? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light. You know, I mean, it just, is he? Then who, what's the fear? What's the fear of really getting on fire as a Christian? The old statement is set yourself on fire, they'll come and watch you burn. You know, that's just voyeurism. It's just people's intent. But they're watching you and I. They're watching you and I. Is this real? Are you really a Christian? You really believe all this stuff? So Psalm 56, you meditate with me this week on this, and let's see what God does in our life. Be merciful unto me, God. And he is. Without it, none of us would be here. Oh, God, for man would swallow me up, fighting daily those that oppress me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High. What time I am afraid, and what time is that? Right now, we better start fearing. We better start concerning ourselves about what is going to befall our little country, our little special spot that's been, God blessed America, for all of our lives. We better start worrying a little bit. I'll trust in you, not me, not somebody else out there, not some government-assisted program. I'm going to trust in the Lord. In God, I'll praise his word. In God, I've put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together and they hide themselves. They mark my steps. Remember, I just said, people are watching us. Is this real? Am I ashamed of the gospel, or am I burning that I want to get one more person to go to heaven? Or at least consider it. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. What a choice, you guys. I don't know who picked it, but it is well with my soul. You didn't know I was going to do this one. I didn't even know I was going to do this one. Shall they escape by iniquity? The answer is no. In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. You put my tears into a bottle. Are they not in your book? Can you imagine what that picture is going to be the day that we stand before the Lord? We joke sometimes about Tom Pratt and the way he cries. You put my tears in a bottle. I think when we have one, I pray it's a solitary meeting, that you guys aren't going to be with me when the Lord talks to me, all right? But he's going to take that bottle one day, and I think he's going to pour it out. Just because I remember when you hurt. I remember when that got you. I remember when you were so afraid that you thought you couldn't even go another step. I put that in this bottle and I saved it for you. And not only that, I wrote it in my book. That's the kind of God that we have. What am I afraid of? Why am I letting fear rule my life anymore? When I cry unto thee, then mine enemies shall turn back. For this I know, God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God I have put my trust. And again, it resounds a question. Have I? I put my trust. You know, we trust him for heaven, don't we? I say, I'm going to heaven. So I'm trusting God for this thing that I can't see, I can't feel. Our daughter is up there. My brother is up there. You know, I'm trusting him that one day I'm going to walk into something beautiful. Why can't I trust him today? Why can't I trust him tomorrow for something I can see, that he's going to walk me through this when I can, this ethereal kind of thought. Why do I trust him for that? See, it's more concrete than what we're really holding on to. He's here. He wants to get us ready to get moving. In God I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Whoa, there's the end of the story. Paul Harvey, I said that, Walton Iwata. Now for the end of the story. You have delivered my soul from death. You have. Please read it for what it says. Not maybe, not if you're good enough. He's delivered you, Brandon. We're going to heaven, brother. We're going to be there together, you know? You have already done it. Wilt not thou deliver my... So if he's done that, that was my heaven thought. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling? That's stumbling, is that word, tripping up, making a mistake, that I might walk before God in the light of the living. End of story, right there. That's the purpose. That's why he doesn't want us to fear. That's why he wants us to fan the flame. We're living in a time where some people that are outside this door and in your circle or sphere need to hear the love of Jesus Christ. Forget about all the rest. Does a mask work? Does it not work? I'm allowed. I have to walk in with my... And the Word of God says to obey all authorities that have over me. So, you know, I'm an ex-cop. I respect authority. But 1 minute it's 6 feet, 10 feet. I have to be 26 feet from you now. You know, God is just saying right here, I need to walk in the light of the living so that they might see the glory of God in Christ Jesus. That's for you and I. That's what I got out of 2 Timothy chapter 1. No fear. Don't be afraid. Father God, help us. It's built into us. Worry, anxiety, cares. It's a learned behavior. It's something that comes with men and women from probably the beginning of time, Lord. Help us. Help us to realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Help us to battle that spirit of fear that comes upon us instead of battling each other and those that are outside these walls. So we love you, Lord, for your love towards us. Watch us this week. We're going to need it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's have another oldie.